Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for the ministry that's gone on so far. I thank you for the worship. I thank you that we were led by our worship team. Awesome. I thank you for everybody that's come here this morning. And I thank you for them, Lord. I pray that they've come in expectation. We had some of that expectation met already, Lord, but I just pray for more expectation as you look at your word and then take communion. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it is powerful, awesome, literally breathed from you. I thank you that we can turn to it now. I pray for understanding, and I pray for fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to be talking about the woman taken in adultery today. That's John 8. Hence the picture. Which if you didn't see that stuff Jesus never said bit at the bottom, you'd think Vic's gone nuts. That's completely against everything he preaches on. That's just up there as a highlight, to highlight us to the passage today. I'm still preaching on change. I'm still preaching on the change process. How do we go from one state to another? And we've done that for a few weeks now. We had the challenging one last week. Hopefully this will be a bit more encouraging. This is all about who you are in Christ today as well. So hopefully it'll be a bit more encouraging for you. I've been thinking about this passage of Scripture for a couple of weeks now. I've mentioned it a couple of times in my digs, and it's always been at the back of my mind. And when I was thinking about what to preach on today, this passage, John 8, the start of John 8, kept coming up. But I was thinking, this is not really about change. This is about the compassion of Christ. This is about how you don't be condemned by your actions against the law. This is showing how much Jesus loves us. This is not really about a change process. And then I was driving past, I was coming home the back road, I was going up Dr. Gray's. And I don't know about you guys, but I sometimes have a running conversation, or what feels like a running conversation in my head with God. Yeah? Oh, hallelujah. So I'm driving up the road, and I'm thinking about John 8, and I'm the woman taken in adultery. And I'm thinking about what to preach today. And I just can't get John 8 out of my head. Can't get this woman out of my head. And I said to God, I'm supposed to be preaching on the change process. And God said, it is a change process. I said, well, I'm not sure about that. You question God, don't you, in these conversations. Are you sure? Are you sure it's a change process? I said, I thought, how is it a change process? And he said, look, if you read it, the woman is clearly in a state of sin and sinning. And what does Jesus say to her at the end of the passage? Sin no more. So it is a change process. It's a process of going from sinning to not sinning. Oh, this doesn't sound like a grace message, Vic. It is. Let's have a look at the passage. John 8. On verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, the nice guys, if we're being sarcastic, these guys that were always, always out to get Jesus, the religious establishment. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I always think at this point, where's the bloke? Two to tango. And that's a completely different message, but I always think, where's the bloke? Because I think he was a scribe or a Pharisee. But never mind. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They're setting a trap for Jesus. He either says, yes, you stone her, and that goes completely against the message that he's been preaching. Or he says, no, you don't stone her. And then they say, well, you're going completely against Moses and everything that we stand for. It looked like Jesus was in a no-win situation. But Jesus wins, don't worry. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, and this is really important, listen to this bit. Jesus is asking them about sins. Being convicted by their own conscience. Who convicts you of sin? Not the Holy Spirit. That's another aside, that's another message. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, one of the most compassionate statements in the whole of the Bible. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Awesome. And not go and sin no more or else, as the picture's got. But you got to see it. That is that stuff Jesus never said. Jesus never said that. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What's going on here? How can you teach on this, Vic, as being a change process? Because you don't actually see if the woman goes and sins no more. Jesus just tells her that. And that is the bit that religion seems to focus on wholeheartedly. The go and sin no more bit. And they do add on this or else bit. Religion and legalism just teaches the, Jesus said, go and sin no more. Now, Jesus did say, go and sin no more. And I say that to you this morning. Go and sin no more. The word clearly tells us. The difference between what we preach and what Jesus taught and what religion and legalism teaches is it's a different way and how to sin no more. Religion and the law says, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the next thing, stop this, stop that. Grace basically says, love Jesus. And go and sin no more. But we are clearly, now that the Lord has told me, looking at a change process here for the woman. We don't actually see whether she changes or if she changes. But Jesus gives us a model or a method or another way which helps us in the change process. It is very clear that the woman was sinning. Can we all agree to that? Whether the guy was thrown down as well or not, it was pretty clear that she was taken in adultery. And the Pharisees and the scribes were quite right. Under the law, that was a sin. So she is sinning. And Jesus says, go and sin no more. So that's a big change. That is a big change process. So where's the model there? Well, the model is, Jesus says, neither do I condemn thee. Well, whoop-de-doo, Vic. What does that mean? Do you know what Jesus is doing? Jesus, at that point, is giving her his acceptance. Here's this woman. Potentially a prostitute who the Pharisees and scribes have conveniently hired and then conveniently jumped in upon the act. Jesus is giving his acceptance to this woman, a clear sinner. Yes, a potential prostitute, a woman, low down in society anyway, but a potential prostitute, really low in society, because that's one theory. She was a prostitute, and they hired her, and then they dragged her out. So again, we're talking about the dregs of society, sinning. Clear sinner. Now, the route that religion and legalism would give her acceptance is this. Go and sin no more, and then I'll not condemn you. But do you see the order that Jesus put it in? It is so important. Clear sinner, caught in the act, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. By not condemning her, he does accept her. That's really clear. She gets his acceptance. He accepts her, and then he says, go and sin no more. Now the story, or the main point behind this verse for me, how do we go from sinning? Because even though we're saints and we're not sinners, all of us in here still sinning now and again. But we all want to, who laughed there? We all want to go, that was Linda. What are you doing, Linda? We all want to go from where we're sinning to sinning less. That's part of the fruit that we want. We all want to get there. One of the models, one of the things we have to do in order to sin less, and the point of this story is that as Jesus accepts us, we also need to accept that acceptance. That's the important thing about today. If you want to move from sinning and want to change and go to a place where you're sinning less, which hopefully we all should do, because grace is not a license to sin. One of the things that we have to do is sort out in our heads who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ, what we've been made, what we've become, because of his finished work. And we have to accept his acceptance. It's like a gift. It's a wonderful gift. It doesn't do us any good, a gift, if you don't accept it. If you don't take it, open it up, unwrap it and use it, a gift's no use. You just sit there in this box. What's the point of that? You got to open it, you got to unwrap it, you got to use it. What Jesus is saying here, he's telling the woman that she's been accepted, and he wants her to take that on board and believe it and understand it. But what is this acceptance, Vic? Well, acceptance everything that is wrapped up in that, forgiveness, righteousness, knowing that you've been made holy, that is all part of this acceptance from Christ. I really think that that woman, oh, she's not up there, was forgiven by Jesus. That has to be part of acceptance. That has to be part of this not condemning her. If he doesn't condemn her, she must have been forgiven. She must have been right in his eyes. She must have had right standing. In other words, she must have been righteous in his eyes at that point. That's all wrapped up in this acceptance, forgiveness, and righteousness. One of my favorite verses is 1 Corinthians 15:34. Says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." Unless you've got some versions of the Bible which happens to omit "and sin not," which was in the original. Why it's missed out, I don't know. If that's not in your Bible, write it in. A few years ago, I would have said, get rid of it and buy a King James. But I don't say that now because I'm the new lovely cuddly Vic. I'm not the old fascist that I used to be. I got to admit, I do love the King James, but there are other Bibles available. Some Bibles actually have it missed out. I preached at a church down in Dumfries. I got the revelation this is where we're driving down. And I thought, this is going to be really powerful. And I was going on and on about 1 Corinthians 15:34. And just when I nearly finished, I turned around because they had the Bible's verses on the back. And I just turned around and noticed that it doesn't have that "and sin not." I was wondering why the folk weren't getting, you know, as enthused as I was. That is an awesome bit of scripture. Do you want less sin in your life? Do you want to stop sinning?
Yes.
Awake to your righteousness. Come to your senses, is what it means. Realize, come to your senses about your righteousness, that you have right standing with God. What's another phrase for that? That you have acceptance. Right now. Doesn't matter what you were doing. You know, if you've come to church this morning just after the act of adultery, yeah, I'm going to say that. If you've come to church this morning just after the act of adultery, if you're born again, Jesus accepts you and loves you and sees you as being righteous. Yeah, that was a bit maybe too far, yeah? That's the truth. You know, we think, okay, a little white lie. Yeah, I told a little white lie. Yeah, okay, yes. I'll believe that I'm still righteous. That guy down the street committing adultery, he's near righteous. No, if he's born again, I'm afraid he is. Well, I'm not afraid he is, but he is. Sin is a sin is a sin. Doesn't matter how big or how we think it is. If we are born again, we have complete acceptance. It doesn't matter what you're doing, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you're going to do, that acceptance is never taken away. That righteousness is never taken away. Fellowship, is that an excuse to go out and live in sin? Thank you. God forbid. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is a license from sin. See, since we're talking about adultery, myself and Nancy were talking about this yesterday. See, once you realize that you have complete acceptance, you realize that you're absolutely righteous, you realize that you have absolute and complete forgiveness from the Lord, that changes your mindset, changes what you think about, changes what you want to do. basically you can go and do whatever you want. It's like myself and Nancy were saying yesterday. Myself and Nancy are doing all the adultery that we want to do. Did you hear that correctly? It's true. It's true. Right this minute, I am doing as much adultery as I want to. A few of you looking, that's because it's absolute zero and I don't want to do it. Eh? Something you'll never hear from your pastor. I'm committing as much adultery as I want to. So is my wife. That's something you never hear your pastor say. My wife is committing as much adultery as she wants to. Have I highlighted it enough? Awake to righteousness and sin not. I've said this to you a few times, guys. That's my testimony. One of the truths that you have to realize is that you're righteous. In your spirit, if you've been born again, when the Lord looks at you, he sees you as righteous as him because of what Christ has done. Yeah, you might not be doing righteous things in your body. You might not be thinking righteous things in your head. But in the spirit, the real part of us, the important part of us, we're as righteous as Christ. And that's what God sees. When you realize that, I guarantee it changes your motives, your thoughts, and your actions. For me, I had a step change overnight because of that. I'm still in the process. I'm not perfect. I'm still in the process of needing more change. So I need more revelation about forgiveness and acceptance and love and healing. But if you awake to righteousness, the word says you will sin not. That's awesome. That's part of what Jesus is saying here to the woman. Saying, I don't condemn you. I accept you. He doesn't actually say to believe it. But I believe that's the case. You are accepted. I have given you acceptance. I don't condemn you. So knowing that, go and sin no more. See, this picture, go and sin no more or else, is the law and it doesn't work. It doesn't. Andrew Womack tells a fantastic story about a pastor who had his kids playing in the garden and other kids playing with him. Loads of kids all running about, and he just planted these new flowers right under his window. Kids hadn't even seen them. Kids hadn't even noticed them. Kids weren't interested in them. So he went to the window and said, oh, lads, come here. He said, see those flowers there? Don't spit on them. And shut the window. Stood back and watched. Yeah, I'd want to spit on them, wouldn't you? Yeah? He said, half of them, kind of looking around, came over and spat on them. And half of them were salivating because they wanted to do it. Yeah? Do not step on the grass. Who steps on the grass? Beware wet paint. Oh. The law does not work. And in the same way as these silly examples, telling people not to do things and to stop and harping on and on about it will not work. Now, getting into your mind that the living God, the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, loves you and accepts you and has forgiven you and sees you as righteous, that will change your behavior. That will take your focus off whatever the sin is and take your focus onto him. It's not only blokes that can't do two things at once. You ladies can't think about two things at once either. You know, if you're focusing on Jesus and his love and his acceptance, his forgiveness, the fact that he has not condemned you, if you're focusing on that and understand that and believe that, You won't have the time or the motive or the willingness for these sins that you used to be interested in. That's what the word says. The acceptance came before the order not to sin. That is so important. It isn't go and sin no more or else. Or go and sin no more and then I'll love you. And then I'll bless you. And then I'll forgive you. And then I'll see you as righteous. That's not the order. The order is, I accept you, don't sin. And you know what? You know what is even better than that? Now, I don't want to speak out death, but it's probably a high percentage of us will sin. I was going to say before the end of the week, but I'll probably say before the end of the day. Probably a high percentage of us will do a sin before the end of the day, before the end of the week. Now, yes, okay, it might not be adultery, but it might be a wee white lie. I don't know what it is. You know, if you look at the word and you go past someone who's begging for money and you don't give them, you know, that's actually a sin, because it's a sin of omission as well. The things you don't do is classed as sin. There's going to be one lucky beggar sitting out there today if for a new lot go out, if there's somebody there. You know, I'm not saying that we're all going to go out and willfully sin, commit adultery, whatever, murder. But if I was a betting man, which I'm not, is it? Is it? All right, okay. Gambling. Gambling, there you go. If anybody gambles within a week, it's a sin. But you've been accepted, you've been forgiven. It just, you know. Where I was going with that was, it's pretty certain that in the coming future, we will sin. Because we've not got 100% renewed mind yet. Yes, we are completely new in the spirit, and we can't sin through our spirit. But if we've still got an unrenewed mind and we're not 100% renewed, there's probably going to be sin in our lives. The good news is Jesus doesn't take away his acceptance. Amen. It's still, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. Romans 8:1. I hope. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit, if you are born again, there is no condemnation from Jesus. Oh boy, you'll condemn yourself. Your family and friends will condemn you. Some folk just love to condemn others. They're really good at it. There's no condemnation from Jesus. We have his acceptance. The lady that was in front of Jesus back then, she could have gone and committed adultery the next day, and he would not have removed his acceptance from her. Now, we don't know what the lady did. I like the fact that she said, Lord. So has she recognized who Jesus is? Has she made that step of faith? I don't know. But he had her acceptance. Or she had his acceptance, sorry. She had his acceptance. Even though she blatantly broke the law and sinned. One of the Ten Commandments. Surely she should have been condemned for that. No. I don't condemn thee. I accept you. Clearly, just broken one of the Ten Commandments. Because there are some folk that say, yeah, it's okay for the rest of the law. Yeah, that's all right. You don't have to do that anymore, but you still, thou must follow the Ten Commandments. If you don't, it's an or else. That's not the case either. Do you know how many commandments you've got? How many commandments have we got? Two. What are they? Hallelujah. See, I couldn't actually quite remember the verse. I didn't want to get the words wrong from Nunzi, look at me again. Under the new covenant, two commandments. A new commandment I give unto you. I see what the marvelous thing is. Once you understand that, once you grasp it, once we are loving God with all, everything that we've got, and once we're loving our neighbors with everything that we've got, do you know that you'll not break the Ten Commandments? But if we have thous and this and thous and that, we will. I remember seeing a Facebook thread, somebody getting all uppity that the Ten Commandments weren't about like to put in schools anymore. And I went, hallelujah! The last thing we need to be doing, people, is reminding them about sin. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. I think it's awesome that the Ten Commandments aren't being taught in schools anymore. You might think, that's horrendous, Vic. No, it's not. That's the law. I really want people to be taught about God, kids to be taught about God and Jesus and love. And you know, out of that will come behavior improvement. That's what we're kind of talking here. This change process, this has come to me, this change process from not sinning to sinning that this woman is trying to go through, or Jesus is trying to put her through, is behavior improvement. You don't get behavior improvement or long-lasting behavior improvement by being thrown the law at you. You might get an initial improvement through fear, but it'll not last long. Lasting change comes from understanding your acceptance, and in that means understanding your forgiveness. See, go off on a whole new tangent here. Forgiveness has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Oh, was I forgiven when I was born again? Well, actually, I would think you were forgiven 2,000 years ago. Colossians 1:14 and Ephesians 1:7 talks about you being forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness was poured out 2,000 years ago. Here's something that you probably never hear any other pastor saying. Do you know that Pol Pot and Stalin and Hitler were forgiven of all their sins? Part for one. Not believing in Jesus. 1 John 2:2 talks about Jesus being the propitiation of our sins. But not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And we know that word means the people in the world. These nasty, nasty men, and let's make it more personal, that your nasty neighbours, have been forgiven of everything. All their sins. But surely I must be able to do something to have my sins forgiven. Here's someone else you might not hear. I heard one pastor saying this. A few of you will have heard it already. Listen carefully. Is there anything that I have to do in order to have a sin forgiven? Yeah, commit it. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and commit sin. I'm saying there is absolutely nothing that you can do to achieve your own forgiveness for any sin, because it's already been dealt with. See, if you're sitting here and thinking, okay, I've been forgiven for everything. everything past, everything present, everything future. All my future sins, I've been forgiven. And that's not going to affect my eternal destiny with the Lord. If you're sitting here and thinking, hallelujah. You know what I'm getting at. You haven't understood grace. I would go so far as to ask you, have you really met with Jesus? Because this forgiveness, this acceptance, this righteousness is only yours because of the horrendous death of Jesus Christ. If you tie those two things together, that I have acceptance, was it Ephesians 1:6, I am accepted in the beloved. If you know that you have been forgiven, Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14, by the blood of Christ. If you realize that, if you realize that you're made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, if you then tie them up with what Jesus actually went through in order for you to have them, you will love him so much and want to be with him so much that the things that used to occupy you, the sin, the desire will just go away. It takes time. It goes along with, this is the whole mind renewal process. You have to renew your mind that you have been accepted, that you have been forgiven, that you have been made righteous, that you are loved. You have to renew your mind to those truths. You have to accept that you've been accepted. You have to accept that you've been forgiven. Accept that you've been made righteous. You have to renew your mind to those truths. And as you renew your mind, you are transformed. That's what Romans 12:2 says. Be transformed, metamorphosized, changed for the better from a caterpillar to a butterfly, from something of grubby whatever to a thing of beauty. You do that by the renewing of your mind. I am righteous. I have been forgiven. I don't have to beg and plead and go on my knees for forgiveness all the time that religion will tell you. No, that'll help you to focus on your sin and hold you back. Renew your mind to the fact that you've already been forgiven, that you have complete acceptance. Doesn't matter that you make a mistake tomorrow. Still got complete acceptance. I heard a teaching from Joseph Prince once. A guy came up to him and said, Pastor Prince, I know it's terrible to smoke. I know it's a sin. I know what I'm doing to my body. Oh, how do I stop? And Joseph Prince says, every time you start smoking, say, I am the righteousness of Christ. And the guy thought, what? You're not going to tell me to take nicotinell or whatever they called it, or put on patches, or you're not going to tell me to stop. You're not going to say, yeah, you're absolutely right. That smoking's terrible for you. You've got to stop. Just stop. No, he didn't say that. He said, every time you start smoking, just point at yourself, look at yourself, tell yourself, you are the righteousness of Christ. And the guy said he started doing that, and then he said, it was like a couple of weeks later, he suddenly realized he hadn't smoked for days. Because that desire was just taken away. Now, I'm not telling anybody if they smoke, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just using that as an example. That was one of the ways Joseph Prince did. You know, let's make it personal. You know, if you're taking that second battery or that extra sandwich or extra portion of chips with your fish supper or whatever, you know, I'm stopping pointing at you guys. No, I didn't look. No. Stop it. I'm pointing the finger at myself so you can't sit there and think, oh, Vic's just talking about me. Vic doesn't smoke. No, I don't smoke, but I tell you, someone, I eat too much. No, so take some of your own medicine, Vic, is what I'm saying here. You know, next time you're woofing into that second battery, try through the mouthfuls to say, you are the righteousness of Christ, Vic. You know, there are things, come on, folks, there are things we're all doing where we beat ourselves up and say, oh, I really need to stop doing this. This is awful. This is disgusting. I'm horrible. Why am I doing this? If there's something in your life that you're doing that is that, see, the next time you do it, tell yourself you're the righteousness of Christ. And look at 1 Corinthians 15:34 that says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Now, it might not work overnight. I don't know how long the guy that was smoking, and Joseph Prince goes on about, I don't know how long he was still smoking until he managed to give up. But for someone that you're doing and you want that change process from the sinning to the not sinning, believe that Christ accepts you. And when you're doing that thing, tell yourself that. Persuade yourself as that delicious battery with the extra butter that is going down. Just tell yourself, Christ completely accepts you, Vic. He loves you with a passion. You are righteous. You've already been forgiven. Tell yourself that. Now, I don't know what it is for you guys. It could be smoking. It could be anything. I don't know. But if it is, if you need to go from the sinning to the not sinning, tell yourself as you're doing it, I'm accepted. I'm loved. I'm forgiven. I'm righteous. I think the righteousness is a really important one. Well, that's the one that's in Scripture, isn't it? Awake to righteousness and sin not. If you can come to your senses that in the eyes of God, you are righteous and accepted, that'll change your life. That this woman, it must have been astounding. You know, I don't know what Jesus wrote on the ground. There's whole debates about it. I don't know whether he wrote the sins of what the Pharisees had or the names of the Pharisees. It doesn't matter. But it must have been astounding for this woman to see her accusers going one by one. And then Jesus there. She must have still thought, oh, well, I wonder if he's going to give me a row. Put it mildly. And then when Jesus said, well, I don't condemn you either, the woman must have been thinking, I have just broken one of the Ten Commandments. You know, she wasn't denying it, was she? Oh dear, I've just broken one of the Ten Commandments. I've just broken the law. Oh no, I'm a sinner. I'm dirty. I'm worthless. And he says, I accept you. And go and sin no more. That must have been astounding. And that's what he's saying to you this morning. Whatever you're doing, I'm not interested in what you're doing. You know, God isn't either. What does Hebrews 10:17 say? What is he going to do with your sins and iniquities? Remember them no more. Complete forgiveness, complete righteousness, complete acceptance. That's what he's saying to you this morning. Now, I am not trying to trivialize sin. Now, we've been laughing and joking about it. I'm not trying to trivialize sin. Sin is dangerous for life on this earth. It's not good for you. It's not good for your family. It's not good for your friends. Listen, don't let anyone ever say that I'm giving you a license to sin. Sin is not good for you. But if you want to move to a place where there's less sin in your life, the way to do that is to accept your acceptance. And whatever you're doing, whether you've done it last night or this morning, whether you're going home to do it this afternoon, whatever you're doing, tell yourself you're righteous. No condemnation from Jesus. Tell yourself you're righteous. Accept your acceptance. And it's a process. But I tell you, you'll change. The word says so. Well, some Bibles say so. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Accept your acceptance. Guilt and condemnation, guys, are horrible things. I'm sure we've all been there. I mean, as we're doing things, sometimes we think, oh, man, why am I doing this? This is horrendous. I know I'm not supposed to be doing this. See, when those thoughts come into your head, say, I'm righteous. I am accepted. I am forgiven. I am loved. The word says it'll change you. Amen.